hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM Shortwave.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Monday. Well, I'm the same guy I was Friday, but it is Monday, folks. The 17th of December, 2007. And today's guest is Peter Schiff Schiff, Financial Sense News Hour. I saw him on Bloomberg Television last Friday, and as I said, this guy made my mouth drop. While everybody is up there for the rah-rah boys for Wall Street, he was shooting straight, so decided to get him on the program today. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. I think he's chowing down at home as we speak. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. And folks, a word here about yesterday's little tea party that we had down at Lady Bird Lake. Thank you all for coming out. I only recognized about a half a dozen faces, and I saw the Austin Un-American's news story here. Let me pull it up, if I can get to it here. Here we go. They reported that there was only about 200 people down there yesterday at the tea party. Wrong. There were more than 500 people there. They kind of got the issue right, kind of, sort of, with the fundraiser, the money bomb yesterday. Mr. Paul has over $18 million in his coffer right now. Yesterday, it was well over $6 million. Some would put it at 6.4 as they're counting, but that's not all the accounting for the checks and PayPal and everything else. It could well be over $7 million. So for all of those people, and I've got to tell you something, a shout out to Sweetleaf Iced Tea Company. You guys, you knocked it out of the park. I don't have the bottle in front of me. As soon as I get it in front of me here, I'll let you know what it said. But they were giving away free drinks down there for the supporters of Ron Paul. And it's an organic tea company. That product is available throughout the Texas area. So tell you what, buy a few of their sweet leaf teas. It's good tea, and it's all organic, and great people. This is the kind of sponsorship we need. By the way, I was there at that rally yesterday, passing out Ron Paul signs. And I could have gotten rid of 100 of the things. I think I only took 25 or 30. But at any rate, I was marching down Congress Avenue with the group, numbering more than 500 Un-American statesmen. Get your numbers right. Everybody wants to downplay them. And I was talking to a guy that, he was a lifelong Democrat, and he was going to vote for Hillary Clinton until he heard what Ron Paul had to say. And now he's on the Ron Paul bandwagon, the campaign. This is happening across the country, folks. Not just the disaffected, the disenfranchised, not just the people that are in the unemployment lines. This is covering all the demographics of all the people in this country, all the freedom-loving people in this country. So yesterday was a big deal, folks, from Boston, Massachusetts to Austin, Texas, and across the country. By the way, the average donor this time around was only half of what the original was. $103 for the original, $50, and they raised almost, they're still counting, numbers are creeping up to $7 million in a 24-hour period. We'll be right back.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit healingformula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit healingformula.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, Officemax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
When I saw Peter Schiff on Bloomberg Television, I think this was last Friday, as I reported, my mouth was on the floor. Because what we have on the financial shows are basically cheerleaders for the stock market. And the information put forth that the people need is a rare commodity on these shows because, well, you don't want them out there painting the wrong picture for the potential investors. Now, do you? Well, as soon as I saw Peter Schiff on that program, our office contacted his people, and we're very glad to have him with us today. And just to give you a little background here, here's his bio. Mr. Schiff is the president of Euro-Pacific Capital, Inc., he's one of the few non-biased investment advisors, not committed solely, by the way, to the short side of the market, to have correctly called the current bear market before it began and to have positioned his clients accordingly. As a result of his accurate forecasts on the U.S. stock market, commodities, gold, and the dollar, he's becoming increasingly more renowned. He's been quoted in many of the nation's leading newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, Investors Business Daily, the Financial Times, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, the Dallas Morning News, Miami Herald, San Francisco Chronicle, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Arizona Republic, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Christian Science Monitor, and has appeared on CNBC, CNN, FN, Fox News, and Bloomberg, where I saw him at. In addition, his views are frequently quoted locally in the Orange County Register. Now, he began his investment career as a financial consultant with Shearson Lehman Brothers after having a degree in financial and accounting from UC Berkeley in 87. He earned it at Berkeley. Financial professional for 19 years. He joined Euro-Pacific in 96 and served as the president since January of 2000. An expert on money, economic theory, and the international investing, he's also a highly recommended broker by many of the national financial newsletters and advisory services. And with that, good afternoon, Mr. Schiff. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. The rest of the country's kind of in the tubes, but I'm doing fairly well. By the way, I didn't know if you were aware of this or not. I used to have another network years ago, and that's where I met your father.
Oh.
Yeah, Irwin. I know you did. I know you disagreed with his handling of the IRS question, so we won't go down that rabbit hole, but I've known your dad for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember one time in particular, there was some purchase I wanted to make, and I called up your dad, and I said, "Hey, Irwin, I need 10 grand." He goes, "Well, tell you what," he says, "I'm working on a book and I'm working." I said, "Irwin, I'll give you 10 points on your 10 grand for 30 days. He says, how do you want it?" He always knew a good investment when he saw one. Peter, I was watching Bloomberg television, and this is the first time I'd ever seen you or became aware of you. And for, I think you were on there for what, almost an hour?
On Bloomberg, yeah, I was a guest host for an hour.
Yeah. And I was sitting there, and I was just absolutely in awe with my jaw practically on the floor, because there are very few people that will speak forthrightly about this economy, about economics in general, and you pull new punches. I saw you, and I immediately told my secretary, I said, get this guy on the program, because it was refreshing to see somebody up there that was shooting straight from the hip.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing that, though, for years. I mean, if anyone wants to go to my website, I don't know if you've been there, at europac.net, EUROPAC.net. But I got, you know, 100 or so appearances going back for about, I don't know, 3 years on CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox and all these stations and, you know, basically telling it like it is. And, very few people in the media actually give me credit for having predicted pretty much everything that's happened. But, you know, what I've been saying pretty much is held up. You know, in the bear market that I referred to on my website, I updated that a little bit, is it's really a bear market in U.S. dollar-denominated assets. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, what do you mean bear market? You know, the Dow, you know, is at a record high. And I have to point out that it's only a record if you measure it in dollars, which are losing a lot of value. If you measure the Dow in terms of any other currency or any other commodity or gold, U.S. stocks have lost tremendous amount of value over the last 8 years. A lot of people just, you know, don't understand this because they're being fooled by the government. They're valuing their wealth and measuring their wealth in dollars, but they're oblivious to the fact that those dollars are losing value. You know, and that's why it now takes, you know, over $90 to buy a gallon of oil, a barrel of oil. It takes over $10 now to buy a bushel of wheat. I mean, wheat has never been $10 a bushel. You know, just a few years ago, wheat was $2 or $3 a bushel. I mean, I remember when it first went through $4 a bushel, it was a big thing. Now it's $10, and it's not just wheat and oil, but I mean, anybody with a that goes shopping knows how much prices are going up, and so that's a reflection of how much our dollar, how much value the dollar is losing.
Well, and Peter, they did this after World War II. They made the dollar the reserve of the entire planet. And all things were hunky-dory as long as that dollar maintained its value. But mm-hmm. Now there are some arguments among economy people out there that are saying, look, the dollar is only worth 4 cents or it's only worth 2 cents. I do know this. It has lost 80% of its purchasing value since the 60s alone. And we're witnessing a problem here because most people don't equate that. You know, they think they're financially okay. I bought my house. I did a 30-year term, and okay, I own it outright now. You know, I've got money in the bank. My investments are out there. I'm doing okay right now. But little do they realize, Peter, that this inflation, which is really the devaluation of their dollar, is eating their savings up and the value of everything that they own.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, very few Americans at this point even have any savings. But for those of us who do have savings, yeah, I mean, if you have them in U.S. dollars, you're going to get clobbered. I mean, in the 1970s, between 1972 and, let's say, 1978, that window, that 6-year window, the dollar lost about 2/3 of its value. The Swiss franc went from 25 cents to, 75 cents. Oil went from $3 a barrel to $30 a barrel. That's a tenfold increase. Gold went from $35, at the beginning of the decade to almost, over $800 at the end. So prices, the average American who was planning on retiring, in the middle of the 70s, that probably altered a lot of retirement plans. In fact, I think the biggest reason that so many women entered the workforce in the 80s that weren't in the workforce at all during the 1960s was because the dollar lost so much value during the 1970s that the man's paycheck no longer could buy enough to so that his wife could afford to stay home. So she had to enter the workforce so that she could earn enough additional dollars to afford the much higher cost of living. And I think what's about to happen in terms of inflation is so much worse than what we experienced during the 1970s. And it's happening at a time when the economy is in fundamentally much worse shape. We're back in the 1970s. We were the world's wealthiest creditor nation. Now we're the biggest debtor nation. We had a high savings rate. Now we have no savings rate. We had a trade surplus. Now we have a huge trade deficit. And, of course, we didn't just come through the biggest housing bubble in world history like we've done now. We're about to wipe out, the home equity of just about every American. And we're going to have American citizens holding on to, hundreds of thousands of dollars of mortgage debt that exceeds the value of their homes, many of which have adjustable rates that there's no possible way that anybody could afford it. And, of course, the federal government did the same thing. The U.S. government is the biggest subprime borrower in the world, and it did exactly what American families did. It was very foolish and irresponsible, and it refinanced the national debt. And now, instead of having a $9.5 trillion national debt financed with 30-year government bonds, we have it financed with 30-day government bills. One-third of the national debt comes due every year. It's like a big adjustable rate mortgage. And if short-term interest rates really start to move up, which they could do in response to a weakening dollar and inflation, you're going to have a U.S. government having just as much trouble when these rates reset as people who hold these subprime mortgages.
Well, but not until Helicopter Ben, that's what we refer to him around here, we're possibly looking at another Fed rate cut, probably another 25 basis points here, maybe within this month, if not next month. But what I think what we're going to see after that is, this is not money that's going to benefit the usual borrower out there, because the banks aren't loaning anything to anybody.
Well, of course, and why should they? I'm not exactly sure, but I think I coined the term Helicopter Ben. I put it in a commentary years ago, and I wrote it and sent it out on the internet, and I had never heard, at the time when I wrote it, I had never heard anybody call him Helicopter Ben. I wrote Helicopter Ben Bernanke in one of my commentaries, so who knows, maybe somebody else thought of it too. But
well, we'll attribute it to you.
when the way the Fed interjects inflation through the system is it does it through the banking and finance sector, which is one of the reasons why the Fed is so popular on Wall Street, because these guys are getting rich because they get to use that newly created money. And the only effect it has on the average American is it forces up his cost of living. So Wall Street gets to get rich and make a lot of money, but you pay more for food and energy when you go to the store. None of this cheap credit now that's coming into the market, none of it's going to find its way into the housing market or to prop up, mortgages. That's what's not going to happen. That money's all going to go offshore, and it's going to go into commodities or go into oil or other things. It'll go into foreign assets. But, you'd have to be a complete moron to want to take money that you borrowed and lend it to an American to refinance his mortgage or to buy a house. Who would want to do that? Especially with these, the way the government is now trying to vilify the lenders, and they're trying to, change the terms of these mortgages and punish lenders and say, you guys were predatory lending and you're taking advantage of people and we're going to punish you. Why would anybody want to loan money?
Well,
especially with the dollar, most of the savings now, unfortunately, are outside the United States. So when an American borrows money to buy a house, he was really borrowing it from the Europeans or borrowing it from the Saudi Arabians or the Chinese.
Yeah, who's actually holding your real mortgage? I'll tell you
right.
what
incentive?
We got to take the break, Peter. Let me interrupt you. We got to take the break. We'll take your phone calls as well, 800-313-9443. This is somebody directly out of the mainstream that has seen both sides of that fence, folks. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what this is. The Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
All right, we are back. Peter Shipp is my guest today, financial news team economic expert. The website, again, ladies and gentlemen, you want to go to the website, that would be europac.net, all right? A lot of articles that are posted on there. Are your television interviews there as well, Peter?
Yeah, all the interviews that I've done, I obviously there's a few that I probably missed, but they're all there. And, you know, the point I was trying to make to you right before the break is, you know, you're looking at these people who are trying to get a mortgage from somebody in Europe and somebody in another country. And, you know, the dollar is going to keep falling. And we're asking these individuals to take all that currency risk, to take their euros, to turn them into dollars, loan them to us at a 6 or 7% rate of interest, and not only hope that we actually pay them back the dollars that we promised to, but then they have to hope that the dollars don't keep losing value against the euro. Because if they do, whatever they earn in interest income, they're going to lose it in the depreciation of their principal on the foreign exchange. So basically, nobody around the world really wants to loan Americans any more money. And I don't think they want to loan us money to do anything, to buy cars, to buy products that, you know, that we've imported from them. And I think our entire phony a borrow-and-spend, consumer-based economy, which was never real to begin with. It was an entire bubble. It was no more real than the dot-com bubble or the housing bubble, this notion that we can just consume based on borrowing money from abroad and buying imported products and that we can do that forever and that we actually had a viable economy was nonsense. You know, all of this I wrote about. Anybody who is listening needs to read my book. I wrote a book called Crash Proof, How to Profit from the Coming Economic Collapse. And the book came out in February. It was published by Wiley & Son. And, you know, it's selling well. It was voted by Kiplinger Magazine as one of the top five investment books of 2007. Amazon picked it as one of the top 10 investment books of 2007. But if you had followed the investment bias of that book, judging by it certainly would have to be the number one investment book of 2007, because I don't know any other investment books that gave as good advice as this one did. But it's also a great read as far as understanding the real dynamics of what's going on in the U.S. economy, why it's a house of cards, and why it's going to collapse. And I had a chapter in there on the real estate bubble, you know, called They Burst Bubbles, Don't They? The Coming Real Estate Debacle. And I pretty much laid it out exactly the way it's unfolding today, you know, in the real estate market. And, of course, I wrote the book. I wrote that chapter a year and a half ago. But, you know, most people who read it, you know, think it was just written, or they think maybe I had a time machine or something, because people don't understand how I was able to so accurately, you know, lay out exactly how it was going to unfold.
Well, and Peter, a lot of people in this country, they are not aware of how the financial system works. I worked for a fellow in Michigan years ago, and I still remember the guy's name. His name was Gary Lupoloff, and he was a Jewish fellow. And he looked at me and he said, you know, the problem with you people, and he was saying anybody that was outside of the Jewish money circles, he was telling me that he says, look, he says, you people do not understand how money works, what drives it. If you understood that, you could make money doing it rather than being on the losing end. And that went way over my head. You know, for years and years and years, one day I had an epiphany of what the guy was talking about. And I did not understand the economies, what drove them. What made the machine work? I didn't get it. And there's millions of Americans in this country today that do not understand the fundamentals of money, where it comes from, how it's borrowed, how it's spent into the economy or anything else. They have not a clue. And that's unfortunate.
And if they follow the advice of the mainstream Wall Street or media, they're never going to have a clue.
And this is, you know, I do
their
another
job is to keep everybody in the dark.
That's exactly right. I do another program on this network called Cash Flow, and we get into a lot of these issues. It's only an hour show, but we get into the issues of fractionalized reserve banking, the credit system, all of that, and it amazes me. You know, we have a real villain here. And it's coming home to eat our lunch, and people are not recognizing this. And the listeners to this network, literally, Peter, can turn the sound off on their television set, watch the little pretty pictures, and they know exactly what's going on. You know, having said that, we've got the majority of Americans in the dark when you tune into these financial shows. You know, they're the rah-rah boys for Wall Street. And, you know, they'll tell you what stocks that they think are good. And I'm watching the entire economic engine in this country go into an accelerated meltdown. And there was a saying, and I remember this because I went to electronic school when I was younger, and there was only two languages that we used. There were no working formats for any computers, and you had to do your own programming. It was either in BASIC or it was in Fortran, when a floppy disk was really a floppy disk. And people were having problems, and they were getting frustrated. Because if you forgot a colon or a period or a dash, any information you put into that computer, you were waiting for it to spit something out to you, and it was all gibberish. Hence, the thing was born garbage in, garbage out. This is what the American people are getting on a steady daily diet, is nothing but financial gibberish from the powers that be. And this country is literally melting down.
Oh, it is. That's the biggest problem is people just assume that we have this great economy. I was listening to this, you know, speech today by Henry Paulson. It was covered on CNBC. I was watching it. And he was talking about the unfolding, you know, collapse in the housing market and the mortgage market. And, of course, he's still sugarcoating the whole thing. And he's talking about why it was so obvious that, you know, the prices were unsustainable and they were based on these lack of lending standards. Yeah, it was obvious to me, but it certainly wasn't obvious to him because he didn't say anything about it in advance. And neither did anybody else. It was so obvious. I mean, I don't know why I was one of the only people who was pointing it out. And when I did, people would laugh at me.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
In fact, you can actually see some of these clips from 8 months ago, a year ago, where other guests on these TV shows.
We'll break. We'll be right back, Peter.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We are back. Peter, the way I'm looking at things right now, we've got a major, major problem here. If you were to ask the general person on the street, and even if they thought they knew the answer to this question, what's the national debt? Some people look at you and go, geez, it's in the trillions. I don't know where. But often, if you do get an answer to that question, it'll be, oh, it's somewhere between $8-9 trillion. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, even Ron Paul, I think, during one of the first Republican debates that was televised, even with the opportunity for the talking heads to do a 30-second follow-up question, he dropped the bombshell. He said, economically, we're in real trouble. He says, we've got a national debt somewhere around the range of $60 trillion. Well, my sources tell me that it's between $75 and $100 trillion, and what that involves is not only the past, but the present, but also the future obligations of the U.S. Gov. And it's really bad. Now, we're including, of course, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security in that deal, which is pushing it up to that mark. Now, having said that, with this guy, he sits on some banking committees in Washington. You would think, in the dire economic straits that they're desperately trying to keep from the general public out there, that that would at least have raised a 30-second question, don't you think?
You would think. I mean, look, I talk about these unfunded liabilities when I wrote my book. I wrote about it in Crash Proof. And, you know, I was using a number of about $50 trillion. But, I mean, look, whether it's $50 trillion or $80 trillion, I mean, we can't afford it. And what that is, of course, is there's two types of liabilities that we have or that the government has. One is the actual bonded or funded debt. And when they report the national debt, that's what they report. And that's where the government has actually issued a bond and borrowed the money, and there's a piece of paper that says we have to repay this. Now, that alone is already staggering, right, how much that is and what it equates to for every, you know, family in this country. You know, when you report it per capita, you know, it includes babies. But, you know, babies don't pay it. So if you have a family of four, you know, you got to take the per capita GDP, you know, debt and multiply by four to see what that typical family owes as its share. But that's the tip of the iceberg. The much bigger debt is not where the government has borrowed money, but where the government has promised to pay money based on things happening, like people retiring for Social Security or people's health care. Those are contingent liabilities. They haven't borrowed the money, but they've committed the American taxpayer to pay for it. And also you've got things like guarantees, where the government has guaranteed student loans, the government has guaranteed mortgages, or the government has guaranteed the debts of foreign governments, or, you know, they've guaranteed pensions, the government has guaranteed bank deposits. There's all kinds of guarantees. Now, obviously, you know, they're not going to have to pay 100% of what they guarantee, but certainly an actual actuarially tables can figure out that if the government is guaranteeing a number of debts, that some of these debts are going to go bad, and the government, in fact, is going to have to pick up, you know, come up with some money if it's going to maintain its commitment. So that's part of a contingency liability. And if the U.S. government ran an actuarially sound budget, just like, you know, any private corporation would be required to report all their contingency liabilities, if the U.S. government did that, then it would be reporting an honest national debt of around $50 trillion. And this is an enormous amount of money. And, of course, it's never going to be repaid. It's either going to be defaulted on or repudiated. And the way it's repudiated is through inflation, where the government simply creates enough money to pay its bills. But, of course, when the recipients receive the money, it's practically worthless. So paying off your debts in worthless money is, in effect, defaulting. But in many cases, the effects on the overall economy are much more severe because it impacts everybody. Meaning that if the government just legitimately defaulted on its debts, then the people who would suffer would be the people who were owed that money, people who hold a U.S. government bond or people who hold, you know, a product or people who are looking at collecting Social Security. But when they default through inflation, people who are not even involved in the transactions get affected because it affects anybody who owns U.S. dollars, regardless of how those dollars have been invested or how they've been loaned out, which is why it's so important that people who do have savings now, unfortunately, we need to save money in other currencies because the dollar's days are numbered.
Well, and the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II, we dollarized the entire planet and all things were hunky-dory until such time. And by the way, you can't retire debt with a debt instrument. That's the problem. You know, and I liken the Fed Reserve here in this country as being kind of Guido, the loan shark. Now, Guido is not going to show up at your door if you miss a payment. He's going to break something. He's not going to end your life, per se, because, well, they want you to produce. They want to threaten and coerce you to repay the debt. But we can't retire a debt with interest-bearing money. It can't be done. And the juice. Now, Peter, this is a staggering amount. Just on the interest that we're paying the banks for their services, Guido's collecting $425 million a day. Just in interest. And the scary part about this is that next year, the government already has to borrow $2 billion a day. How do they do that? Well, they issue treasuries or bonds or 30-day or longer term. It doesn't matter. However, they can scare the money up. Now, here's the deal. If nobody is buying these bonds or treasuries because they look at it as being worthless, then that means next year that we could be facing a $1 trillion deficit by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got a serious problem here because...
Yeah, that's, and of course, I mentioned it earlier in the show, but the big problem is if interest rates rise. Remember, in 1980, when Paul Volcker came in and had to clean up a mess that is not as big as the mess that we're going to have to clean up now, in order to stop the dollar from falling and to rein in the inflation that the Fed created, Paul Volcker had to bring interest rates up to 20%. Now, and we had the worst recession since the Great Depression. But ultimately, the country turned around. But imagine what would happen if, you know, we had to do something similar now. What if we had to bring interest rates up to 20% again? How would the U.S. government handle paying 20% on a $10 trillion national debt? See, back then, the national debt was financed with 30-year government bonds. So even though interest rates went up to 20% in 1980, that only affected the rate of interest that the government had to pay on the money it was borrowing in 1980. But now, because we have an adjustable rate national debt instead of a fixed rate national debt, when interest rates go up, our payments go through the roof. So we can see the cost of servicing the national debt well in excess of $1 trillion a year in interest payments.
You know,
so where's the government going to get that? And of course, in 1980, when the U.S. government paid interest on the national debt, it paid it to other Americans. So the money stayed in this country. But now, over half the national debt is owned by foreigners. That money leaves the country. That's a drain on our economy.
There is a lot of contention out there about this, and a lot of people believe that this has been an engineered meltdown. Because
I don't know if it's been engineered, but it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, they've got $500 trillion in derivatives out there floating around. The subprime is not the major story here.
The subprime is, that's just where the problems are surfacing first. That's, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg itself is the entire credit bubble of our economy. It's, you know, the whole mortgage. Number one, it's not just subprime mortgages. It's all mortgages that are in trouble. Yeah, people say, well, sure, 93% of people are still making their mortgage payments on time, which is still not great because you got 7% of the homeowners that are behind on their mortgages. But fast forward another 6 months or a year when real estate prices are 10 or 20% lower than they are right now, and we've had a lot more adjustable rate mortgage reset, think of how many more Americans are not going to be making their mortgage payments. I mean, why would somebody make a mortgage payment when the mortgage, you know, greatly exceeds the value of their house, especially if they're struggling with an adjustable rate mortgage? And it wasn't just subprime borrowers that took out adjustable rate mortgages. You've got the majority of people who bought homes in the last few years who were prime borrowers in places like California who also used adjustable rate mortgages, and they're going to have just as difficult a time making these payments, and they're not going to have any incentive to make these payments when their houses, when their mortgages are hundreds of thousands of dollars more than the value of their homes.
Well, and to the credit of the state attorney general, I do believe it's Illinois. I forget her name, but at any rate, she's calling onto the carpet countrywide. And in an interview I saw with her today, she was asked, are there going to be other people subpoenaed over this deal? Now, let's go back about 3 weeks ago. In Ohio, the interested parties were coming into court on foreclosures, and the judge simply asked, okay, the foreclosure is going to proceed here. Can you offer actual proof that you're the holder in due course of this mortgage? They couldn't do it because those mortgages were sold off, and they're representing their interest, or they're trying to get out of the hot water by foreclosing on these homes that they can't prove that they own. And that's presenting a real problem. Now this is the first time, and evidently she's got several state's attorney generals that are looking into this thing. But you're right, Peter. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and we're heading into
And I said the whole iceberg. It's not just mortgages. Americans have borrowed money to buy cars.
Yep.
They've been borrowing money to buy consumer goods like television sets and furniture, and they've been borrowing money to even consume just things like gasoline and food. And we can't afford to pay any of this money back. I mean, that's the problem. Our whole economy is based on borrowing money to buy stuff.
But, Peter,
you can't do that.
This was what we were taught when we were wee little ones. I'm 54.
No, we weren't taught that. I mean, the thing is, I mean, what you're only supposed to borrow money, basically, for investment purposes. And I'm not talking about the borrow money to buy a stock. I'm talking about if you own a business, right, and you need to make an investment. Let's say you need to buy a piece of capital equipment, and you need to borrow that money because if you buy this piece of equipment, it's going to increase the productive capacity of your business, and you're going to have greater income. The asset is going to generate a return, and therefore it makes sense to borrow if the return that the asset generates is exceeds the interest that you have to pay on the loan. And that's a good use of credit. You borrow to make capital investments, and those investments allow you, the income that those investments produce, allow for the debt to be retired, both principal and interest. But where you don't borrow is to go and buy something to consume, because that makes no sense. Because if you borrow money and buy a television set, that television set isn't going to generate any income for you. So the only way you can pay off that debt is if you work even harder in the future or reduce your consumption even harder to pay for the money you borrowed in the present, because now you got to pay all the interest. You know, the only time individuals should borrow is sometimes it makes sense to borrow to buy a car, because maybe if you don't have a car, you can't get to work. And therefore, by having a car, assuming there's no public transportation, the car makes you more productive. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and buy a Mercedes. You shouldn't buy a Mercedes unless you can pay for it with cash. But yes, if you need a Honda or some inexpensive economy car to get to work, then maybe it might make sense to borrow money. But it never makes sense to borrow money to just go out and spend it.
Well,
but it's also a waste of society's resources. And that's not how you build wealth. You grow an economy by under-consuming and saving to support investment. You destroy an economy by consuming, especially with borrowed money.
Well, and what are the figures on the GDP? When they come out with the GDP numbers, my sources tell me that 70% of the GDP now is on consumer borrowing.
Yeah, it's the highest percentage of our GDP that's made up of consumption in the history of the country. And what economists don't look at, and while the GDP has been so strong the last few years, I've been a critic of this. And I said, look, they just look at GDP, and as long as it's going up, they think it's great. But they ignore why it's going up. They ignore the fact that it's going up because consumers are spending money they don't have and are building up enormous debt. And so we look at the GDP going up and say, that's great, but we don't look at all the debt that we've accumulated and say, wait a minute, how are we going to pay this back? And more importantly, what people aren't looking at is the terms of that debt, because so much of that debt is floating rate, and for a few years the payments are low, but then they jack way up. And we've committed ourselves to this type of borrowing, and they ignored all that. And so, and it's the same way. Just like, I mean, you think it would be obvious, right? Somebody's going out there and buying a house, and they're taking out a teaser rate where for the first 2 years they can barely afford the payment because it's 40 or 50% of their income, but the payment doubles 2 years from now. I mean, shouldn't that have been obvious to everybody that that's an insane loan, that nobody, the guy can't pay it back?
Well, did you hear?
That's our whole country. Whole country is a subprime mortgage.
Did you hear Greenspan today saying that, oh, yeah, the banks need to go in and fix this? He was the one responsible for the cheap money.
What Greenspan is saying now, Greenspan is saying that the government should actually give taxpayer money to homeowners to help them make their mortgage payments.
Over somebody else's dead body.
The government should tax the renters and the people who are acting responsibly and who didn't want to lie on their mortgage and try to gamble on real estate. Let's tax them so that we can give money to these people. And, you know, a lot of the people, of course, that own these homes that are in subprime mortgages, they have no rights to occupy those homes. I mean, in many cases, they put nothing down. What right do they have to that property? It belongs to the lenders. They're the ones that put up all the money to buy it. And, you know, if they can't live up to the terms, I mean, they have to get out of those properties. And what do they lose? They lose nothing. It's the poor lender who's going to get hit. I mean, and it's his own damn fault for making a loan in the first place.
That's right.
The guy that lives in the house has no right to be there. In fact, there are many people. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal today about a couple that bought a house 3 years ago in California for about $450,000, and they refinanced three times, and the last refinance they pulled out up to $850,000 and split town, and they bought a new house in Texas for about $200,000. They bought two new cars with their last refi. They took a vacation in the Caribbean, and now they're letting their house in California go into foreclosure because it's not worth anywhere near all the money they borrowed out of it. Meanwhile, they walked away with two free cars and a free house in Texas, all on whoever was dumb enough to lend him that money.
Well, and also...
And I read another story, too, in the New York Times about a week and a half ago. A woman bought a house in California in 1980 for $105,000. Here it is. She bought it. She should be about 5 years away from paying the home off. She started out originally with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Instead, on that $105,000 house, she has a $650,000 mortgage that she can no longer afford. And in the last 7 years, she borrowed $500,000 against that house that she paid $100,000 for. And I'm sure she only put down, you know, a little bit. She borrowed $500,000 and spent every single penny on consumption. That's the American economy. And why should somebody like that, why should we feel sorry for somebody who's getting kicked out of their house when they pulled out $500,000 tax-free and spent it?
But that's not the normal mortgage holder out there.
There are a lot of people who hold mortgages on their properties that have refinanced their properties several times and have borrowed a lot of money against their houses, and they've done stuff. They bought cars, or this other couple that borrowed against their house in one of their other refis, they used it to put a waterfall in their backyard. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. I mean, they got to spend all this money. People treated their homes as ATM machines.
They did. Okay,
and they leveraged them up to the hill.
We got to take this break. We got a hard break here we got to take. Can you stick around in the next hour with us?
Sure.
Okay, great. 800-313-9443. I know you got questions out there. We'll also be joined by Robbie Noel from the Flip Side right after this.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, leadership has been gracious enough to continue this conversation in the next hour. It's something that needs to be spoken about, real language about the real situation here in America. His website, europac.net, he's the quintessential truth teller out there. He's got a book out. It's available everywhere. It's called Crash Proof. That came out in February. One of the straight shooters here, and he's committed to what he does, but based on the truth, not fallacy, not fiction. It's the hard, fast realities. And there is still money to be made out there in the markets, but you've got to walk through a web of deceit and lies and everything else. And as I said earlier, folks, if you don't have the up-to-minute financial news, what's really going on, where are you? I mean, if you're getting garbage in, how do you expect to produce a good product? How do you expect to get any results? One thing that I wanted to bring up, Peter, our figures here on inflation, and we notice how the core inflation numbers, they just leave out the cost of energy and the cost of food and the cost of many other things. But I peg the inflation rate right now at about 11.5%. What are your figures telling you?
Well, you know, I don't have any figures, right? But I do understand that, you know, the government has so dramatically changed the way it measures inflation. And I address this, again, in detail in my book. But this has been one of the real things that have bothered me, the way the government is able to lie about the numbers, and then Wall Street just, you know, takes that those lies and applies them to the current situation as if they were the truth. So, for example, inflation basically, the government just reports the CPI. They don't, you know, real inflation is the expansion of the money supply. The result of inflation is that consumer prices rise instead of fall. They should be falling. That's what happens in a free market economy. Consumer prices fall. That's how our living standards rise. They don't fall because governments create inflation to reverse that decline. But we measure the inflation with the CPI. And until the late 1990s, the CPI had been changed a little bit, but it was pretty much the same. The only difference was in the 1980s, they took out housing prices and replaced it with owner's equivalent rent, which did a lot to keep the CPI low. But they did a lot more in the late 1990s with Michael Boskin and Alan Greenspan, of course, was the Fed chairman. The government was claiming that the CPI all the years throughout the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s, we had been overstating inflation, that the CPI was not a good measure of prices because it didn't take into account things like substitution or improvements in quality, or the fact that people tend to alter their buying behaviors. When the price of one good goes up, they consume less of it and they buy more if something went down. So the government decided to incorporate all of these changes into the new CPI that we use today. And of course, that new CPI is totally worthless because it dramatically underestimates what's happening to consumer prices. So when the government says and Wall Street says, hey, inflation is only 2 or 3%, it's only 2 or 3% because of this new CPI that made it 2 or 3%. If we were still using the CPI that we used in the 1970s, if we were still using Jimmy Carter's CPI, we would have Jimmy Carter rates of inflation right now. We would have inflation running at least 10% per annum. And it's been running that way for the past several years. The only reason that we don't know about it is because we changed the way we measure it.
Well, and also under Mr. Alan Greenspan's watch, I love the way the screen wipes would come up. Alan Greenspan speaks. It's like the old E.F. Hutton commercial. But I'm telling you, under Greenspan, we decided to quit making the M3 available to the public out there, and that was the actual money.
Well, of course. I mean, that's really, you know, the... You know, what we call that in Jewish chutzpah, you know, that, you know, not only are they creating all this inflation and lying about it, but the one real measure of what they're doing, the M3, they're not even reporting that anymore.
All right, we got a break, top of the hour break here. Next hour, Robbie Noel will also be joining me. We'll be right back.